What's up, comic book nation? Welcome to San Diego Comic-Con. Day two is in the books. I'm BD. I'm here to host a little recap of the day. We had some big news. We have some friends with us today. We have Keisha Hatchett from TV Guide. Thank you for coming along. And Chris Hayner from GameSpot. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming out. And you guys know, if you're following comicbook.com, I hope you know, Hot Hands Viscardi, Jim Viscardi is in the back there, and Matthew Aguilar rounding out the bunch here.
I don't get a fancy nickname or anything?
No. I was just happy I said Aguilar and not Mueller, like Brittany does. But but so if you're watching right now, we have some really fun stuff that we can show you. If you're listening to the Comic Book Nation podcast, then we are going to, you can hear our voices and imagine our beautiful faces and the faces of some of the celebrities you're going to hear from on today's show. And we have some big topics, so I figure we should just jump right in. First of all, the Walking Dead had their panel today, season 10. Everybody knows I've been with The Walking Dead since day one. I'm riding that thing all the way to the ground, and they are too.
Yes, they are.
But we got the season 10 trailer, and I thought, you know, you say what you want, Danai Gurira's leaving, Andrew Lincoln has left, Lauren Cohen has left, Chandler Riggs has left. They're bleeding stars, but they have still released a trailer that, for me, shattered expectations. I loved the trailer. I thought it was really good.
I liked it. I think it's fine. I'm not clear on what this season as a whole is going to be. I saw Michonne may hang out with Ezekiel. I don't know how I feel about that. Because I don't know if she knows this, but like, Rick is still alive. So it's going to be an awkward conversation once he leaves the movie theater and comes back to television.
Yeah, in Hall H, I was sitting there, and when that Michonne and Ezekiel moment came up, you just kind of heard everything. It kind of sucked the air out of the room. Everyone was so confused by it. Because everyone, I mean, loves the Rick and Michonne relationship, but, I mean, it's been, what, 6 years?
Something like that.
She's got, I mean, you can't blame her, you know, it's...
Carol can.
She's like the woman whose husband may have died in the war, and she's not a widow anymore. She can't, you know. Michonne's got needs, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you can't blame her.
No.
And also, she's not the writer. But yeah, it's...
But Ezekiel?
Well, that, I mean, the weird thing about that, the thing that makes it so weird to me... feeling like a weird reaction to it is that that's how it goes in the comics. Michonne and Ezekiel, obviously at this point in the comics, Ezekiel is dead, and Michonne is, you know, that whole storyline seemed to have gone away. So then it brings up the question of, with Michonne leaving, whether she goes on to meet up with Rick and do a movie or die or something. Does this also mean that we might see Ezekiel die like he did to kind of propel her towards the story she went on after they had their relationship in the books? I don't know.
So you're saying Michonne's going to just kill Ezekiel. That's what I'm taking away from this.
Oh, man, I think... No.
I'll watch the season if that's what happens.
I can't imagine they kill Michonne. Like, they've talked about doing all these movies.
Yeah,
they said it's a trilogy of movies about Rick. I think that trilogy of movies could end up taking different forms. Mm-hmm. Andrew Lincoln just recently signed on for one of the movies. So
that's the thing. I think we're putting the cart before the horse when we're saying it's going, like, they think it's going to be a trilogy. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So like, Andy signed for one movie. They're finally moving forward. We found out today Universal Studios is making it, and it's only going to be available in theaters. I feel like 3 years ago, this would have been the biggest news out of San Diego Comic-Con.
Absolutely.
We would all be talking about this for the rest of the weekend. We'd be talking about what we want to see in the movie, what characters we want to see in the movie, what comics this could... Like, we'd be having all sorts of theories, and now it's just like, okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah, like, it's... I guess it's fine, but, like, I don't know. Like you say, the world has cooled on The Walking Dead a lot.
Yeah,
they could, but, you know, and again, it's still super far out. They could release a trailer and get us all excited about it again. Or not.
That's the only thing I'm actually excited about is that movie.
That's how I mean, but today's trailer
I could care less 10, about the show.
I feel like the season 10 trailer could have been its own show that would have been exciting.
Yeah.
And if it was its own show, more people would have been like, oh, this looks good. But people are so down on The Walking Dead right now because it's lasted so long and it's made some missteps along the way.
But the only reason I watched was Rick. Rick was the heart of that show for me. So with Rick gone, I just...
The strange thing is, though, it got better by comparison to season 7 and 8 when he left.
I know. Like, I've heard that.
Yeah. It's an interesting... But that's in large part due to Samantha Morton and the Whisperers and giving Danai Gurira some time to shine.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she gave a really heartfelt goodbye, too. She got emotional. Were you guys in Hall H?
I didn't make it in there today, but I saw the Walking Dead. They threw the video on Twitter of... everybody giving her the standing ovation. I was like, that. Those are like, even if I don't love the show like I once did, like, I was like you. I was on the bandwagon since the jump, and it's just kind of cooled off. But, like, the fan sentiment for those favorite characters is so good and pure that, like, even a cynic like me would be like, aw.
What
for Michelle.
What I kind of took from that was, obviously, she's a Marvel star now, and she's doing her own thing. She's doing plays. She's so talented. And as the show is kind of starting to bleed viewers, you can't blame her for wanting to go do the MCU.
No.
But I think that was probably an easier decision than you might think. Than she might even want to say it was at this point. And you can't blame her.
Oh, it was a very easy decision. But she was in Black Panther, dog.
At the same time, in watching her on stage, I don't think it hit her that she was leaving until she started talking to the fans and saying she was leaving, because she really did. Like, when she said, "This is my final season as Michonne," it seemed like it hit her for the first time. So, a lot of respect for her. I mean, this is the show that built her in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So, but what does the show or the movies have to do for you to care at this point?
Can we bring Glenn back?
Somehow? No.
Can we bring Shane back? I love Shane.
I want more of the guy with the spiky arm.
Oh, saw him in the trailer today.
He's basically comic book Rick.
Yeah.
He's got like a spiky metal ball for a hand now.
If the show is just him just decimating zombies with that arm, I'm in. Sign me up.
we had the cast come by right here on this couch today. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Nadia Hilker, Eleanor Matsura, and Cooper Andrews, who was in Shazam. And he's an awesome dude. But Jeffrey Dean Morgan was on Conan the other night, and him and Norman Reedus met Tom Cruise. And apparently celebrities get excited to meet celebrities. So I want to roll a clip really quickly of Jeffrey telling us about that exchange with Tom Cruise. Check this out. And so, Jeff, I mean, you had a pretty cool experience. You went on Conan, you and Norman, went on Conan with Tom Cruise.
That's exactly
right.
Which
is about as cool as it gets.
It doesn't get any cooler. Well, I mean, I grew up watching... you know, Risky Business and Top Gun, and you know, we've been talking about Top Gun, and when I say we, I mean the world has been talking about Top Gun 2 since they made the first Top Gun, and as well as Tom has been talking about it. But anyway, he came on and was the guest, and Norman and I just were there being idiots, and he came on as the guest, and we saw the trailer backstage, and we looked at each other and we're like, should we stay and see if we can meet him?
It's Tom Cruise.
It's Tom Cruise.
Not gonna not.
He came down and we spent a good 45 minutes talking to him, and we were trying so hard to be cool. you know, when you're like you're sort of outside yourself, like looking at yourself, going, "Oh, you're being an idiot right now." But but he was so genuine and cool, and you know, made eye contact the whole time, and we covered a lot of bases, and it was neat. You know, we have moments in this business where we're fanboys, and that was definitely one of them for me.
Was it everything that you thought it would be?
And more.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I would love to have seen that. Like, the two coolest guys on our show being like little boys,
I think that's so funny because people like lose their mind to meet you guys,
right.
And meanwhile, there you guys are with someone who's...
Yeah, and as it's time to say goodbye, I was like, we hadn't asked for a picture. We were trying to like maintain our dignity, and I was like, hey, man, can we do a picture with you? And he, of course, was like, absolutely. And Norman looks over at me, and he's like, he whispers in my ear, he's like, oh, my God, thank God you did that.
So that's amazing. Oh, that's great.
That was my highlight.
I am really excited for everybody to see that whole interview. I will tweet links out as soon as it's up on the site. And thanks to the Walking Dead cast for coming by. We're going to move on. Veronica Mars, let's talk about that.
The whole show's available.
Hold on. We just got a really big sigh from the end of the couch there, Chris.
What's up?
So Kristen Bell's birthday present from Hulu, and it seemed almost like it was genuinely a surprise to her, but at the same time, like, this had to be staged in some form. But so the birthday present was they dropped all 8 episodes of Veronica Mars, the new season, on Hulu. You've watched all of them, and you had an audible sigh down there.
I hope it came with a receipt, man. Holy cow. I love Veronica Mars.
Okay.
I did the Kickstarter for the movie that was kind of good. I watched all three seasons from the jump. I was so excited when they announced it was coming back. It ain't good, guys. I watched the full season coming up on about 3 weeks ago now, and I did not enjoy it. I gave it my review on GameSpot. I gave it a 3 out of 10.
3 out of 10.
Oof.
What compare that to something? What is something else you've given a 3 out of 10?
I gave Aladdin like a 6, like the Aladdin remake. A 6. I've never given anything a 3.
Wow.
It's just like it's.
So what is it about it?
Yeah. So what?
So, okay.
We can't go too much into spoilers.
Right. Here's what I'll say. Rob Thomas, the creator, tweeted like months back that like. The movie was about nostalgia. This isn't about nostalgia. This is like a hard-edged SoCal noir story. It's a detective show. And he's right. It is a very mediocre detective show with a plot that's like a mystery that's just kind of not great. Patton Oswalt and J.K. Simmons are in this season playing random new characters, and neither of them seem to be doing very much. And it's 100% about nostalgia because they parade through just a long list of people that showed up for a couple of episodes randomly throughout the series for like half a scene. You're like, I think that's the person who lived down the hall from her in college, maybe? Why are they here? Oh, they were just at the grocery store. It's like that kind of thing.
Oh, man.
I didn't love it.
I mean, have any fans, it just came out today, but has there been a fan reaction to it yet?
I think they're starting. I think that some folks are starting to binge it. I was trying to check Twitter before we started. There are a lot of people who are like kind of just jumping to the end to see that, and then are riding that out, and that reaction is still very like, whoa, what?
Yeah, it's not good.
But Chris, do you think if they, I mean, the ending, this is not really spoiling anything, but leaves it pretty open for another season. Do you think another season, given everything that's gone down in this one, could redeem it? Not necessarily redeem it, but could you get the Veronica Mars that you love.
Here's the thing. Yeah, my thought was like, yes, it could go on, and it could sort of get back some of the glory that is, like, this show used to be amazing. Mm-hmm. But, like, a lot of things have to change, because one of my biggest issues with the season is Veronica still acts like she did when she was 16. Mm-hmm. She's in her 30s now.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. I don't act a lot like I did. When I was 16, I sucked. And like I don't interact with my parents the same way. I don't interact with the people I'm dating the same way, like, because I'm an adult now, and I don't get a lot of that out of sort of what she's become after giving up her law career and moving back to Neptune, and just kind of, she's in stasis.
So we had the movie, how many seasons were there?
Three.
There, so this is the fourth season then.
Yes,
following a movie kind of in the
and
middle.
Two books.
Yeah.
That they just released. Totally, that I don't
over
think
15 years, we've had 4 seasons in a movie. That's so strange.
I mean, this thing debuted on UPN.
Yeah,
I mean,
the first 2 seasons
UPN was a thing.
This
like,
is
that's
how different
how
the world
ago.
Was. I used to see ads for Veronica Mars on UPN while watching SmackDown on UPN.
Yeah,
there you
that's
right.
Yeah. Oh wow.
What a time to be alive.
And those first 3 seasons are still, like, I love them. Like, I like the second season far less than I like the third and first, but I do like them all together, and it is a bummer to hear that.
So you're still going to watch it, though?
Yeah, because I'm interested to see
what the fans think. If it's a universal disappointment, if there's a divisive aspect to it.
I think it's going to be very divisive. I welcome everyone to go watch this show, so I'm not alone in this sadness. I rewatched seasons 1 through 3 after watching the new season. Like, maybe I was wrong all along, but like, man, the old stuff is really, really good.
It's great, and there's a cameo by Brahman from Martin, so go back and look out for that in season 1, because it's the best thing.
Solid catch, there you go.
Also, a cameo from Paris Hilton, everybody.
Oh, really? Joy.
Paris Hilton she's one of Veronica's classmates in season 1. And then in season 2, they make a Paris Hilton joke.
Dude, that show had so many people who are like stars now. It's absolutely
Jessica
insane.
Jessica Chastain was on Veronica Mars.
Wow.
But Paul Rudd, Mac.
Well, he's still
that. Yeah. How does Mac not come back? That's the thing that blows my mind. Veronica is so much of that character in the original seasons is defined by her friends.
Yeah.
because like they're the people who keep her from going too far.
Yeah.
And like Wallace is barely in this, and he's her best friend. He's barely in the new season. He's essentially kind of.
Oh, that's such a bummer.
And Mac is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. Oh,
they make a mention that she's overseas somewhere doing computer things.
She didn't want to do it.
let's move on to our next topic. Oh, actually, before we do that, we did have Kristen Bell in here today, and she was delightful. I know that we just kind of.
Don't tell her what I said.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell her anything you said. She was really sweet. Since this is her birthday month and this whole thing was apparently a birthday gift, we wanted to give her something to celebrate her birthday, and we know she likes sloths. Mm-hmm. So that's all I'm going to say. You can watch and listen, Comic Book Nation, to this clip real quick. Hey, Comic Book Nation, welcome to the studio at San Diego Comic-Con. It's BD here, and I am joined, I'm so excited, Kristen Bell is here. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
And congratulations on your panel just now.
Thank you.
Veronica Mars. Everybody's very excited. Happy birthday from Hulu
myself,
but from Hulu, because Veronica Mars is available now.
I know, I can't believe they did it.
How does that happen? Walk me through it. How does that happen? How does Veronica Mars, just 8 episodes, go live?
Well, because it's done. It's finished. It's supposed to be released in a week, and blame it on Mike Osiello. He asked, did you get everything you wanted for your birthday? The answer was no. One of the things I want for my birthday, because I celebrate all month, is for people to see and enjoy the show that we worked really hard on and that I just hope they're entertained by and love again. And I just called him out and I said, drop it right now if you love me.
And they did it. I know you like sloths.
Yeah.
So we have a sloth. No, not a whole sloth. But there is something sloth related in that bag for you as a little birthday present from comicbook.com. I hope you'll enjoy this.
I haven't seen these before.
Sloth
and I've
sucks.
Seen almost all sloth related items. Well, these are fantastic.
Happy birthday from us at comicbook.com.
Thank you. Is he a gambler? It looks like he's gambling.
Sloth? Could you imagine how slow he'd pull that lever though?
Oh, it took him forever.
Yeah.
But he got 777.
All right, moving on to our next topic. Something I was really excited about going into this weekend, one of my most anticipated panels and reveals and trailers of the weekend, was The Witcher. Mm-hmm. I think we've been talking about this in the Comic Book Nation podcast, where we think with Game of Thrones gone, if people are looking to fill that void, The Witcher could be that product that does that for them. The trailer came out. I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little bit underwhelmed by the trailer. I don't really, and I haven't read the books. Mm-hmm. I know the games a bit, but I haven't read the books. I feel like if you know the books, it's easier to be excited about this because you probably know more of what's going on in this show than I do right now.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Yes.
So
are you underwhelmed by it because you feel you've got some FOMO going on, that there's other people who are excited by it and...
I just forgot what
not.
FOMO meant, by the way, the other day. I didn't know for the longest time.
I mean, visually, it looks great. Visually, yeah, it looks super cool.
Pretty.
Very fantastical and everything. I don't know what it's about. I know who Geralt is. I know who Henry Cavill's playing. I know what he does. But this trailer didn't tell me what we're doing on the show.
But I guess my issue is because I've heard that.
Okay.
Not the trailer reaction. Not that part. The premise of that this is the next Game of Thrones. And I feel like we have such recency bias. It's the same thing we had after the Lord of the Rings movies. Everything that had a sword and a shield was all of a sudden trying to be Lord of the Rings. And that's not the case. Fantasy has been around for so long. So now that Game of Thrones is gone, everyone's looking for a replacement. The Witcher is not that. Like someone who's read the books and played the games, right? The Witcher is a very different animal than Game of Thrones. It's not this high, epic fantasy with... It still has a lot of political drama, but... It really comes down to four central characters, three that are really the basis of it, and then one younger one that kind of comes in Ciri. This is really it's about living in a gray world. The biggest thing I would compare it to is The Walking Dead, as far as how those episodes play out. It's more about being in this world. Geralt will find something and have to track down a monster because it's linked to a mystery or something, and it's getting to that spot. So
it's
very
monsters.
Much a detective story, and you're following him and his adventures and how he relates to the characters in this very gray world.
So it's like Veronica Mars.
He's imperfect. he makes blatantly bad choices for someone who's supposed to have no emotions because they're trained not to have emotions.
So based on what you just told me, paired with the trailer, that makes me much more excited. because I finally understand what this is all about. But also, Henry Cavill didn't talk like at all. Did he even have any lines in the trailer?
Yeah, he had a few lines.
Yeah, a few. But honestly, that's
words.
Very
words.
Key for the series because Geralt doesn't talk a lot. He talks. It's
from
one
what
of those
I gather,
things.
He's more like a force of nature in a sense.
He's quippy, but it's very dry humor. Like, and he doesn't say a ton. Like, he'll say a little bit, and he gets his point across. And then, because that's their standing in life, they're witchers. They're they hunt monsters, and they've been trained after this, but they don't have a ton of social skills. Like, that's not their bag, right? So. Most of the, it's in the interactions between him and other supporting characters like Dandelion, who is like the bard, very high energy bard, who they'll put someone like him with Geralt, and that's where you get the sparks, right? It's the contrast between them. Same with Yennefer and same with Triss. So as him, that's kind of going to be it. Like, I wouldn't go in expecting a ton more. I mean, he's not going to be babbling. He's not going to be a babbling
He looks great. First of all, I mean, he looks great. You know, Henry Cavill looks great. But
the eyes
Geralt.
Can we just shout out that wig, though?
The wig?
Yeah.
Can we shout out the,
Wait, shout out his biceps, hair?
Too?
Yeah.
Listen.
She had a shirtless shot. I was like, dude, how do you stay in that kind
and
of shape?
And the bathtub scene's in there. There's a thing where he's in the bucket.
That blows my mind because of, I've never read the books. I've played some of Witcher 3, but that's about it. But I feel like if you've been on the internet, you've seen the image of Geralt
right,
in the bath. So I was like, they know exactly what they're doing with this. They figured it out, and they're just having fun with it.
And also at the very end of the trailer, you do see his eyes darken, which is when they take toxins and potions to prepare for a monster fight. So, like, that's why that monster comes out. Like, it's all very premeditated.
That's the thing, though. That's the thing is that I feel like that's why it's easy for you to get excited about this. You have that knowledge, whereas the fan coming in without that knowledge might have a little bit of a harder time. And once they see it, they'll probably love it. And once they finally get it in context outside of the book.
I just think if they go in, though, with the Game of Thrones comparison, they will be disappointed.
No, I agree with you. And actually, before we had the show, if I got into the studio, I was talking to Jim, and I said, we were talking about how this could be Game of Thrones, but I think this is more of a fantasy show and Game of Thrones was a political show and they're not going to go, those audiences aren't looking for a new fantasy show. They're just, that's not why people watch Game of Thrones. That's not the only reason, the biggest reason. Anyway, let's move along. If you're watching right now, we're going to show you, they broke a world record here at Comic-Con on Thursday where all of Dragon Ball Z fans assembled. I think there was over 700 people. They broke a world record, the biggest Kamehameha wave. Our Megan Peters was out there. And if you're listening to the Comic Book Nation podcast, you're going to hear a quick message from some of our friends. We'll see you in just a second.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to the studio. One more topic here. Before we wrap up today, Avengers Endgame. The movie's been in theaters for 3 months now, almost
Seven
3 months.
Years. Eight.
84 years.
8 years later, and we're still talking about it. And there's been a bit of news that we're going to talk about from this today. The writers had a panel. The directors had a panel. There have been interviews. It's hitting home video, so everybody's trying to up the sales one more time. But before all that. Are you guys endgamed out? Are you guys kind of like fried on talking about Endgame yet?
Yes.
Look, I got to ask the writers the one question that had been haunting me the entire time about War Machine at the end and how he got from one armor to the other armor. Now I'm okay. I'm done.
Did they have an answer?
They did have an answer.
They actually did.
They said that was the one question that they actually had a story for that they could say, and it has something to do along the lines of, like, Ant-Man shrunk them down. And
Ant-Man was, like, woke up in a hall of armor.
Right.
And saw a War Machine suit and took it with him, I guess.
Yeah, and then just basically.
And then gave it, yeah.
He goes, so it's total BS.
He goes, we couldn't
burn time. If you look at it, there's a quick shot. Yeah. You can tell in the background where Ant-Man is.
Right. But it's like, we couldn't burn time with War Machine putting the armor on, so it just happened.
They couldn't burn time with a lot of things in that movie that just sort of happened.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, we talked with Marcus, Christopher Marcus, Stephen McFeely in here for 20 minutes today, and I've talked to them so many times by now. And, I mean, we can still ask them questions because I am interested in the things they have to say, but it's just, it's been a lot. It's been a lot of Endgame. It's all over the place. But people are still consuming it. Like, it's yeah. crazy. The fans are still clicking on these stories. The videos are still getting views when you talk about this movie. So, clearly, the world is not Endgame now. We might be a little, because it is our world. Mm-hmm. It's all we do right now.
I just remember, I loved Infinity War, and then when I had to go through the commentary track, you know, for work purposes and having to, like, stop it, so I hated myself for it, and I...
That's every time a new... Like, I love every Marvel movie until it hits DVD, and then I have to do... I do coverage, and I never want to see it again. Except well, for, like, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Sure. We're getting so close to the... Yeah. I think tomorrow Endgame is behind us, really, because Phase 4. But we'll talk about Phase 4. I want to get predictions from everybody.
We just need it to beat Avatar, and then we can stop.
We can write that story, and then say...
It's close enough.
We're done. Mm. But, end scene. The Russo Brothers did a panel today. They didn't really say much about the movie. They're not doing Secret Wars yet. Thank do God. You guys want them to do? I'm ready for fresh yeah. fingers. Yes.
Let someone else come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think.
But we're not even
talented.
There yet. For like Secret Wars to happen, we need another freaking 10 years worth of movies. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's like, what are they going to do? Secret Wars in 5 years? Like,
at Comic Con 60, we're going to be like, are we Secret Wars out?
Yes. Very true. Find the next Russo brothers.
They were
the guys who directed Community
right,
before they came to the Marvel Universe, and now they're like the biggest names in directing, period.
Well, we might meet them tomorrow, whoever those people might be.
I hope so.
But they did reveal...
Kevin Smith.
They did reveal a logo for the Magic the Gathering anime, which I'm personally very excited about. I hope it's really what I want it to be.
They're producers on that, yeah?
They're producers on that. It's going to be on Netflix. Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, a logo is just a logo, but still.
Well, the interesting aspect of that is I think they said that there could be potential for live action in the Magic universe, which I think is really, really exciting.
That's cool.
That, to me, like, yes, let them move on from Marvel right. so they can do that. And if they're the ones who have to finally get Magic the Gathering to come to live action life, do it. Hurry up.
Just give them Akira.
Taika's doing Thor 4. Give them Akira. The writers, Stephen McFeely and Christopher Marcus, said they wouldn't talk about whether or not there's two Captain Americas on Earth. Which is interesting because the writers and directors are just ramming their heads at each other. I don't
they
know
ever
what's
actually sat down and talked to each other. But they have a joint commentary track on the Blu-ray.
But it's in the movie. Like, it's just they. If that happens, it has to. It has to exist. Two caps have to exist.
Well,
no,
depends
it
who you
a
ask.
Splinter universe.
No, it depends which of them you ask. One team, and I don't remember which one is saying which. But if you ask the directors, I think. They'll tell you it created a new timeline, whereas the writers will tell you this was the timeline all along, and he is the father of Peggy's kids that we heard referenced in The Winter Soldier, which I prefer that version of the story.
But doesn't that mean that, like, Steve made out with his niece?
Yeah, whatever.
Yep.
I mean, are you shrugging that off?
I know, listen. But he didn't know. She didn't know.
Someone got a little too attached to Game of Thrones.
You can't shrug that off.
Listen, why not? Why not? He didn't know.
He just kissed her. It's fine.
But he would have.
But she definitely should have known.
Yeah, she should have known. So, I mean, both sides are kind of weird. You know?
Yeah.
And if there's any Sharon Carter fans watching right now, I'm sure they're torching me in the comment sections.
Well, it bums me out because, like, I liked what they were doing with Sharon Carter, and then she is gone.
Yeah, I really dug that part too, and then
maybe one day we'll see Redemption for her. I mean, maybe she got snapped and she's back.
Jesus.
And
she's hanging out in Vormir.
I'm also
and actually has something to do this.
Yeah,
time.
Maybe she'll actually have something to do and not be a glorified prop.
That'd be great.
She could get some real screen time.
Let's give her some agency, guys.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a second. That's offensive.
And the last thing, they said they almost had Thanos rip Captain... 2014 Thanos rip off the head of 2012 Captain America and give it to the Avengers in 2023. Would that have been too much?
Do they hate Captain America?
They hate Sharon Carter.
Based on the ending
Carter.
They give him, which is very not the Cap I mm-hmm. expect... To also then, like, show him his severed head.
Has yeah. there been stuff. Decapitation in the MCU? I don't think so.
I don't think there has been. Really here's the thing. That would have been really heavy.
I think it would have been
that
too
been
much.
That would have been like Game of Thrones vibe in the MCU, which is not, that just like, did not match.
Could you just imagine the Chris Evans mold sitting there like with his see, eyes but, rolled
see,
back?
See, but now
and, like,
that you've
the...
said it, I want to see it.
No.
I can for sure imagine Chris taking that home at the end of the day. Like if you're putting it up on a show. Release the pre-Russo's cut, please, so I can see his head.
So it's just severed, like not him talking or anything like that. Nothing.
I hope not.
Like, he's indestructible.
But see, now that we're talking about it, you want to hear it. You want to see it.
I mean, he's got some probably stronger than normal skin, but he could probably die.
He gets cuts.
He ages. So, I mean.
I would certainly love it if Thanos went back just to decapitate him and then gets beat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would have been.
And so then, like, they're in the future, like, where is he?
That's just a totally different movie, though. Makes you wonder how many versions of this movie are out there. But I don't want to talk about it anymore.
A multiverse full.
But, okay, last thing, and then we're going to wrap this show up. Tomorrow is the Marvel Studios panel. We're finally going to get, hopefully, a bunch of Phase 4 news. I want everybody to give me one prediction, lofty prediction. I don't want to hear Eternals. I don't want to hear Shang-Chi. I don't want to hear Black Widow. It might be unrealistic. 10% chance is fine. What is your prediction that the Marvel Studios does tomorrow?
They're going to announce that after 15 years of putting Storm in the background, she's going to get her own movie. Finally, she deserves it. We have Black Panther. We're on the road. Let's give Storm her movie.
That would be cool. Would you guys be okay if Storm was the first mutant in the MCU?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, yeah. I'm just making sure.
Yeah,
I think that's awesome.
Absolutely.
All right, Chris?
I mean, Fantastic Four. I want Fantastic Four. I want it done right. I want it. And show someone New Mutants, for crying out loud. Like, I'm sure it's terrible, but, like, I want to see it, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, but yeah, Fantastic Four. That's all I want.
I'm with you. Jim?
It's never going to happen, but they surprised me with a Moon Knight movie.
I knew you were going to say Moon Knight.
Never going to happen.
They could bring a surprise. We didn't expect Civil War when they did their October 2014 thing.
Oh, I don't think they're bringing Moon Knight, but...
I don't think they're bringing Moon Knight, but I think there could be a surprise that nobody is expecting. All right, Matt, yours.
Well, if you're going Moon Knight, I'll go Dark Hawk.
I said 10% chance.
Hey,
all right, all right.
The MCU you guys live in.
What if they rebooted? What if they rebooted Howard the Duck?
No, that's our show.
We are getting Howard on Hulu. And
Howard the Duck was in Avengers Endgame
now. Right?
Yep. Wait, what?
Howard the Duck was in Avengers Endgame. He was in the battle against Thanos.
Yeah, he's one of the...
Yeah, so he's getting more love than Sharon
Avengers
Carter.
Assembled, Howard the Duck showed up, so he's a full-fledged Avenger in my book at this point.
Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Avenger.
I mean, yeah. I mean, done. I don't, like, he's the wisecrack. Like, look, Tony's gone. We need a wisecrack.
So now we need his post-Thanos PTSD movie.
Yeah.
His Howard the Duck's Iron Man 3.
Rocket's about to go off into space, and so let us have our Earth Duck.
Our
Earth Duck.
All Earth Ducks wear like blurry hair, right?
Howard the Duck in Summers 2026. All right. Thank you so much, everybody. Leave your predictions for Marvel Studios Phase 4 or your wish list in the comment section. Send it to us on Twitter using hashtag Comic Book Nation. If you have any questions, you guys want to talk more, you want to follow along, I'll be in Hall H tomorrow. You can find me at Brandon Davis BD on Twitter and Instagram. How can we find you guys?
Oh, me. Hi. Oh, I'm Twitter and Instagram at Keisha Mays.
Chris Hayner on both Twitter and Instagram.
Nice and simple. Jim Biscardi.
At Matt Aguilar CB on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys coming by. GameSpot TV got to come out
here
in the comicbook.com studio. And everybody at home, thank you for watching. Comic Book Nation, thank you for listening to the podcast on these bonus episodes. We will have one more tomorrow after the Marvel Studios panel, which means it'll be a little bit later. But it'll be very exciting, so I hope you'll watch. This is the main event. In the words of the Grandmaster, it's main event time. I'm Brandon Davis, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.